Hi everyone, I'm Candace. I'm a compulsive eater in South Florida. Thank you so much for asking me to share with you all today. I'm just going to say a quick prayer to get grounded. God, I trust that whatever words you would like me to say will come out, and whoever needs to hear any of those words, I trust that they will hear it. Amen. All right. Hi again, I'm Candace. I am a compulsive overeater. Really grateful to be here with you all tonight. I'll basically go through, you know, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I'll just start briefly with a bit of my childhood because that's where my story begins with food. I am the only child of a single mother who was deep in her drug and alcohol addiction throughout my childhood. And, you know, I was very lonely as a child. I couldn't really grasp what was going on around me. All I knew is that I thought it was my fault for the way my mother behaved. However, I did live very close to my grandmother. And when my mother would not come home for days, a week at a time, I would just walk right over to my grandmother's house. And she was basically my surrogate mother in early childhood. She was my source of unconditional love, my source of safety, especially. And when I was 8 years old, my mother moved us to a different state and away from my grandmother. And when I lost that sense of love and safety, the only type that I had, that's when I found food. And it filled that hole in my heart and that hole in my soul. And I quickly turned to binge eating at 9, 10 years old. I was a very overweight child. I was overweight throughout middle school and high school, and not just a little overweight. I was probably around 180 pounds at 13 when I went into high school. And when I graduated high school just 4 years later, I was up to 286 pounds. So the type of eater that I am, my sponsor lovingly called it an industrial grade eater, and that got a good laugh out of me because that's very true for the way that I eat. So throughout my teenage years, there was a lot of animosity and resentment towards my mother, a lot of self-hatred, a lot of self-blame. And in my teen years and into my early 20s, I not only had a food addiction going on that was rampant, I had a substance addiction that completely took over my life. And why I had these things, I don't know. But for me, they were that sense of ease and comfort that I sought so deeply in life. And how I came to OA. So I'm currently 34 years old. I've been in OA for just a month or 2 years and 1 month now. And prior to coming into OA, just a few months before that, my mother had suddenly passed away. And there were so many things left unsettled between us. That lifetime of rage and animosity and not being able to understand and blaming myself just kind of bubbled over. And I was in basically an eternal binge for the 2 months following her death. I ended up seeking out a grief counselor who became my full-time therapist. And she was the one who planted the seed of OA for me. She was also a member. She'd been a member for 30 or so years. And the first time she told me about it, I didn't receive it very well. I was very insulted. I was like, lady, I did not need NA for my drugs. I don't need OA for my food. How dare you? And gratefully today, I will be celebrating about a little over 7 years sober come January of next year. So thank you, God. And so needless to say, I was very insulted that I could kick that habit. And this woman was telling me I needed a 12-step program for food. Can you believe it? So I didn't take it well. I didn't heed her advice. About a month later, she tried again. I didn't take it well again. And I was like, I'll show her. I'm going to put myself on a diet. I'm going to count my calories right up. I'll show her. That lasted maybe 3 weeks. I think 4 weeks is pushing it. But for 3 weeks, I put myself on a diet, hated it the whole time. And wouldn't you know it, it resulted in a massive binge, like it always does. So our next appointment together, we got on camera together. She asked me how I was, burst into tears, and she said, "Let me guess, you ate." And I was like, "Huh, how did you know that?" She's like, "Candace, I really, really think you need to get to an OA meeting. They have them on Zoom. You don't have to go in person. You don't even have to turn your camera on. You don't have to say anything. Just go to one and listen." At that point, I was willing. So I did. I found a Zoom meeting that was based out of Louisville, Kentucky, and I still consider that my home group. And I sat in that meeting, camera off. I don't even know if Candace was in my name on Zoom at that point. I kept my mouth shut, and I heard other people sharing about their struggles with food the same way I had struggled with food my whole life. And it was just that kind of aha moment of, oh, it's not just me. It's not because I'm a fuck up in life. It's not because I deserve to harm myself because I carried so much hatred for myself in my life. It's not all of these things. It's because I'm sick. I'm sick. I'm an addict. And, it didn't really jive with me at first, per se, but at the same time, I knew deep in my heart, especially with my experience with substances, that I was an addict at my core. So I started attending meetings pretty regularly after that. My therapist didn't have to tell me again to go OA. I was just like, all right, you had a point. So about 3 months in, I got my first sponsor, and she's still my sponsor to this day. We started working together and working the steps. I was abstinent. And at that point, I was still very resistant to the God, higher power thing. I was the type of person that cringed every time it was said in the steps, in the prayers. I was just like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? But I was at the point where it wasn't enough to turn me away. So while I was taking step two and coming to believe in a power greater than myself that could basically save my life at this point. Oh, forgot to say, I was about 350 pounds when I came into program 2 years ago. I was like, what could that possibly be? So I did the wonderful method of act as if. My first ever visual imagery of a higher power was from Pocahontas, Grandmother Willow, the grandmother tree from Pocahontas. I use that as something that okay, I can get down with that, a grandmotherly presence, like the source of love I had in childhood, nature, feminine energy. It worked for me at the time. So I acted as if, and my sponsor gave me really wonderful advice. And she said, I know you're resistant to praying, but can you think of it as just saying words? You're just saying words out loud, you're saying them in your head. You never know where they're gonna go, so why not just say it? And I was like, ah, all right, whatever. And then one day something changed, and I was going through something difficult, and the thoughts that entered my mind weren't usual Candace thoughts. I don't know if it was the voice of God or whatever, but I knew that's not me. That's not my way of thinking. So maybe there's some merit in this. And this day I have a very, very strong, beautiful relationship with a higher power that I trust, and that I feel cared for and loved unconditionally, and I'm so grateful for that. So, working the steps, I did my inventory. It was quite difficult for me the first time. Pulling up all the muck of life and just kind of seeing that, oh, I wasn't the victim of life. Yes, there were circumstances in my life where I was a victim, but I wasn't the victim of life, that I thought I was. And after I took my fifth step and turned it over, there were things that I intentionally left off of my inventory because I was like, if I tell my sponsor this, she's going to be like, girl, you need to get out of my life. And after I turned over my fifth step, she was like, do you think there's anything else that you need to share with me? And all those things I left off, I ended up blurting out to her, sobbing, And what she said to me in response will always stick with me. And she said, so what I hear is a young woman who tried her absolute best to survive the only way she knew how. And that freed me. That freed me from so much of that shame, that guilt, that regret that I carried around my whole life. And when I proceeded on to my amends, the first person on my amends list was my mother. A lifetime of horrifically toxic codependent relationship, a lifetime of not feeling loved, a lifetime of lashing out at her, and result to that, I was able to write a letter. And on the year anniversary of her passing last year, my best friend flew down to my state to be with me. Me, her, and my boyfriend went to the beach, which was my mother's favorite spot. And I read my amends letter to her. It was pretty powerful. There was a patch of moonlight shining on the shore where I was standing. And I had probably the most honest conversation I've ever had in my life with my mother. I was able to make amends to her, and I gave myself the amends that I needed from her. And I'm just so grateful that OA gave me that gift, because now I think of her with so much love, and I think of her as a person outside of just mother. You know, mom was on the pedestal. She wasn't her own person. She was just mom. And all I could see was the way she failed me. And in doing that amends process, I saw all the ways that she tried her absolute best. I'm a sick person. She was a sick person, you know? So when I think of her now, I miss her lots. I love her lots. I can remember all the good times that we had together. I can remember all the ways that she tried and did the best to show up with the only way she knew how, just like me. And it was very powerful. So I got into sponsoring. I had a couple of sponsees, and then I did what happens to some of us, not all of us, but I stopped trusting in my higher power, and I relapsed. And I was in relapse for 5 months. And in those 5 months, this is an example of the type of eater I
Eight
am.
minutes.
Thank you,
Sorry.
Shelley. It's okay. And in those 5 months, I gained 50 pounds. And that showed me, you know, at the time I was like, oh my gosh, how could this happen? I had another bottom in me. It needed to happen because I was able to see for the first time and truly accept that this disease will kill me. The rate that I eat at, how much I consume, will absolutely take me out. It will. If I eat that way, eat the way I want to eat, I'll probably be 500 pounds in a little over a year, and that's just a matter of the fact. You know, when I came into OA, I was 350 pounds. I had an A1C of 6.1, so I was on the verge of becoming diabetic. My liver was in poor function, and you know, I used to say I would never tell this story to anyone, but I share about it now because it shows the insanity of the disease. But you would have thought my first bottom before coming into OA that made me realize something has to change is I went for an MRI on my liver. It was not an open one, so they tried to stuff me in the machine, and I broke it. I broke an MRI machine. And what did I do as a result? I went to a restaurant and I binged in front of a room full of people. That wasn't what had me say, oh, something's got to change, Candace. That's how sick I was. That's how sick I was. So, after I came out of relapse, I can't tell you what happened. I seriously just woke up one morning and said, this is the day. I started working the steps again. I worked them very quickly. And, God willing, on Tuesday, I will be 4 months abstinent. I've released a decent amount of the weight that I've gained, and I still have a 100 or so pound weight loss from my top weight of coming into OA. Thank you, God. But you know, it's about the food and it's not about the food. I have been given so many gifts from this program and my higher power that I couldn't imagine possible. My grandmother, who I loved very, very dearly, that was my source of love and safety. Tomorrow will be 2 weeks since she passed away, and I have been abstinent. That's God doing for me what I can't do for myself. If it were up to me, I would be in bed stuffing my face under the covers. I would be icing out the world. I would be lashing out. I would be out of OA. And my higher power said, no, that's not going to happen. So thank you, God. I have been leaning into my program more than ever. And you know, the big book says multiple times, multiple times. Work with another alcoholic will sustain us through hard times. And I've been leaning into my sponsoring. I have actually six sponsees now, which is insane. I don't think I can take any more than that. But today I got to witness someone go through their third step and say their third step prayer. I got to receive a fifth step today. And I did all of this while still taking care of myself and grieving and allowing myself to grieve. I'm not reaching for something to suppress those feelings. I'm not reaching for something to distract myself. I'm leaning into God and I'm leaning into program. The steps are the solution, and service for me has been the solution as well. So when I was asked to speak at this meeting, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm usually asleep by that time. But you know what? My higher power wanted me to show up today and share with you all. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity. So I think I will leave it off there. OA has given me a life. It has given me a big, beautiful life. It has given me confidence in myself. It has given me the ability to let people in. And I'm just so grateful. So thank you so much. I pass.